Hello, friends. I hope you recognize that theme song, because if you do, you know it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus with Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Cowboy Country, North Florida. And we're just so glad to be part of the broadcast family here at WMAF, and we do pray that you are happy to be part of the listening family. You have a great blessing here in North Florida, and it's a blessing to us that we might be able, through this radio station that streams its broadcast signal by computer, live, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. So if you're listening from some other state, from some other nation, we welcome you today. And if you've downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And we pray with an earnest heart that the Lord's blessings would be rich upon your heart, upon your life, that God will speak to you in a very personal, very intimate way today, that you will hear His voice. My voice is amplified by radio, and you control the volume of it. Sometimes God's voice is not as clear in the hustle and bustle, and particularly in the pressures and trials and tests of life. But I believe if we will quieten our spirit for a little while, open our minds and hearts to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will let us hear more than the minister or the Bible teacher. I believe that He will let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that He will speak in a very clear and concise way. Amid all of the chaos and confusion, I believe God is speaking loud and clear to His people and calling loud and clear. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know the Bible said of a church that had lost its way. In the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." Praise God. The enemy of our soul either doesn't want us to hear his call or else not answer his call. But friend of mine, he's calling today. And this could be the day that you open your heart's door. If you've ever seen that beautiful artist conception of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, you will see that there is no knob on the door. It's conspicuous because the door can only be opened from within. Christ himself, as much as he loved you and paid for your redemption on the cross, will not force that door open. He allows you to choose. He allows you to the sovereignty of your will. And I pray today that this could be the day of salvation to someone listening to this broadcast. So if you're not a Christian, please, please don't turn the dial. It could be that this is the day that you hear his voice, that you respond to his call, his knock upon your heart's door. And if you are a Christian, Christ wants you to hear him loud and clear. I believe through the Word of God and by his Holy Spirit, someone today specifically is going to receive encouragement from the Lord. Amen. Someone that is deeply discouraged. See, I believe in divine appointments. I don't believe that we're meeting together here to study the Word of God. Those of you that are listening right now, I believe this is a divine appointment. I believe that because that's the kind of God that I serve. And I actually sat down here and tried to begin this broadcast, stopped it and canceled it simply because I felt the Holy Spirit moving upon me to not just do the Bible study without inquiring in prayer. Lord, who do you want to speak to today? What specifically do you want to say to them? So there's someone that God is going to talk to today. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm a messenger boy. I'm going to bring the gospel from the Word of God, teach it if I can, but only the Lord can truly take it and make it personal to you. And I believe he's going to do it today. Amen. I believe, in fact, that there is a minister who's discouraged, greatly discouraged. We have the statistics to tell us that 1,700 before this month is over, 1,700 ministers every 30 days will throw in the towel and say, I'm not going to continue to minister. Granted, some were probably never called, and that's why they find it too difficult. Others were called, and they become discouraged. You can have a Bible college degree. You can be a scholar of Scripture, and that does not insulate you from discouragement. Every one of us needs God's time of refreshing in our life. We need the hope that only He can give us, the strength that only comes from recognizing our own weakness and knowing what steps to take, amen, to rekindle the flame within. So please stay tuned today. If you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 on the subject, In It to Win It. In It to Win It. Winning the race, receiving the crown. I'm going to read the first verses. In fact, I'm going to read all these verses. These are important verses as we continue this study. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not shadow boxing. I have a real, genuine, legitimate opponent and target before me. So I'm not fighting as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. No one, and I repeat, no one is exempt, is somehow insulated because of your calling, your anointing. You're appointing to some office of ministry, Bible teacher, pastor, evangelist, apostle, bishop. It just doesn't matter. There is no one exempt from the trials and tests, and particularly what they produce in our life, the discouragement. Paul was one of my most wonderful heroes in the New Testament. He wrote 13 of the 27 books. If you count the book of Hebrews, jury's out a little bit on that. But he certainly was one of God's choice servants that accomplished so much for the Lord, went through so much. And it would appear, if you don't read in depth and study his life and look at the scriptures and that define all of the trials and tests and persecutions that he went through and the discouragements that he went through, to be encouraged in the fact that when you are discouraged, it doesn't mean that you have no faith. It only means that you're a human being. You live in a faulty body in a fallen world, and we need a healthy, holy self-watch, lest after preaching to others we become a castaway. Lest after sharing Christ, if you're not a pulpit minister, after sharing Jesus with other people, we find ourselves. You may have encouraged someone who is about to commit suicide, and they took courage from your witness and your testimony and your help. And now you find yourself in a deep, dark hole of depression and discouragement. Friend, I want you to know there's help and hope for you today. Praise God. There are too many Christian alumni. There are too many believers that have been sidelined. Too many ministers that have been quiet and too many mouths that have been stopped that have the anointing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Too many Christians that don't even feel like witnessing anymore because of discouragement. But today I believe the Holy Spirit is here as the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who stands in behalf of another. And I believe it is possible, amen, to stir up and rekindle the flame that is within, that fire, that passion, that enthusiasm, that faith that just reaches out and believes God in spite of the circumstances of life. I believe, hallelujah, that God is speaking to someone specifically today. Amen. And that somebody is going to get up and somebody is going to go on. Amen. I remember years ago, and I just want to talk to you personally before we get back in the teaching of the Word for just a few moments. Years ago, I was wondering, and you get these feelings. We go through these highs, these extreme highs, and these deep valleys as Christians and as ministers of the gospel. I remember feeling kind of like my ministry had come to a standstill. Was it doing that much good? I'd went through nervous exhaustion, come out the other side of that, and God brought me through. I was so exhilarated and happy, and I felt like, praise God, that great trial is behind me. The devil is defeated. I want to run full out for Jesus. And in the midst of all of that enthusiasm, things begin to occur. And they sustained over time, and discouragement began to set in. And I remember a letter came when I was in a time of ministerial stagnation, I would call it, because I'd lost the vision for a short season. Thank God for a short season of what God could do if I would just keep doing what I knew to do for Him. Praise God. Amen. But I got a letter in the mail and a tape somehow of one of my personal testimony going through that time and how God brought me through that time and how discouraged I was and how it looked like defeat was imminent and how God, through grace and mercy, lifted me up in spite of my discouragements. Amen. Not without my help, of course, not without my taking the hand that was extended, but it's a long testimony. I'll just make it short by saying this. God pulled me through. God lifted me up. No one can take credit. I can't take credit. The only thing I can say is I did reach out my hand and my heart to Him in a way that if that trial had not come, I don't see myself ever reaching out that desperately, that dependently. And yet, through that desperation and dependence, I found the hand that was reaching down to me. I discovered the grace and mercy that Paul said that God told him, and he found out through personal experience, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in weakness. See, until we are truly weak and in need of that kind of strength, we will never reach out like that to receive it. So the very trial that has come to wear you down and weaken you today, amen, God can turn that around and use your weakness and inability when you come to the end of yourself to give you a new beginning with greater strength, greater power, greater dependence upon Him, a greater understanding of mercy and grace, and a realization that you can use your faith even when you feel discouraged. I'm going to say that again. You can use your faith even when you feel discouraged. I got a letter and it came at just when I needed it. Just when I felt like I was doing nobody any good and couldn't hardly hold on to myself for myself, I got a letter from a pastor in Indiana with a major church organization. Actually, he was an evangelist as well as a pastor, as I am. And he was ready to turn in his credentials. He said, I was ready to say, how can I preach to others? My faith must have failed. I feel depleted. I feel discouraged. How can I continue to preach to others? He had already signed and sealed and stamped and sent a letter of resignation to his church organization, was getting ready to make it public to his church, but he got a tape of a man in a hole, deeply discouraged, that God's mercy and grace pulled out, and that man was me. After many, many years in ministry and many successes and many wonderful miracles that we had seen occur in salvations, I myself found myself, after having preached to others, in danger through discouragement of giving in and giving up, not turning my back on the Lord, not that kind of castaway, but living as if there was no help for me in God, in the defeat and the discouragement. Oh, friend of mine, he said, through what you have went through, I took courage that if God could pull you through this time of deep discouragement and despair, there was hope for me. And he took courage and he said, I'm not leaving the ministry. I'm going on for God. I'm back in the race. And he said, Pastor, if there's any consolation to you through your pain and being honest about it, I have been healed. Praise God. And I thought, oh Lord, you even took the pain and the heartache and the heartbreak that discouraged me and used it to encourage somebody else. Oh, the enemy must be chagrined. The devil must have to step back when he hits us so hard and he's so confident as he counts us out that we will not get back up. But not only do we get back up through God's help and grace, but we get up stronger than when we hit the canvas. And we get up refreshed. And we get up ready to fight the good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. Friend, I don't know about you today, but I've been in that deep valley. I've been in that dark place. I know what David was talking about when he said he delivered me from the horrible pit. And the great apostle Paul was very honest after all of his accomplishments and spiritual experiences and victories. He was forthright. He was honest about his humanity, his human condition. Even with all of that anointing and revelation, he wrote roughly 13 of the 26 books of the new 27 books of the New Testament. And Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, said in the New Testament, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. Praise God. He said, we serve a God. If he can raise the dead, he can take us through this trial. He can take us over this mountain peak. He can lift us up from this deep, dark pit of depression. This God has no boundaries. There's no limit to his love. There's no limit to his power. This God who sits upon the circle of the earth, this sovereign creator and savior, has said through his Son to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Praise God. Friend of mine, he's a promise-keeping God. And because he's with us, he's not with us because we stand on the mountain and our faith is working perfectly. But when we find ourselves in the deep, dark valley and our faith is wavering, God says, I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I'm not going to quit you, so don't you dare even think of quitting me and giving up on me. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 is a wonderful revelation of Christian persecutions, trials, and tests, and the need for that perseverance and persistence in our faith when we feel like quitting. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 10, and somewhere around the 30th verse, it begins reading. I don't have it open to that, but for time's sake, after you were illuminated, Paul said you endured a great fight of afflictions. Amen. Somebody out there in the radio audience should say, ain't it the truth? A great battles ensued, because now we have the potential to lead others to Jesus, to give them a reason for the hope that's in us. And that's why the devil wants to rip that hope out of us if he can. But he can't and he will not. God is with us. God is for us. Amen. So the Bible said, he hath said in Hebrews 13:5, he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Praise God. Amen. He said it, and we confirm it with our confession of faith. Hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I'm declaring today, amen, that he is faithful that promised. Amen. Listen carefully. After you were illuminated, after you had the revelation of Jesus and you came to him as your Savior, you endured a great fight of afflictions. The Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. This is the dangerous time. It's that when we obey him, we serve him, we sow our seeds in faith. Hallelujah. And sow our life in faith. And a time elapses, and it seems like heaven is brass and there's no harvest. Time elapses. And during that elapsing of time, there's a danger of becoming discouraged to the point of despair. Oh, friend of mine, you have need of patience, perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Oh, friend, if you keep on keeping on, a breakthrough is coming. If you keep on keeping on, that mountain has to move. If you just keep in the race and don't look back and turn back, God has an answer. God has a restoration. God has a victory for you and for me, all in his divine purpose, in his divine timing. But make no mistake about it, you will not lose this battle. You will not lose this race. Because of two reasons. Number one, God is for you. God is for you. And Paul said, what more shall we say to these things? Let's stop the mouth of the lion right here. Let's stop the accuser right now. If God be for us, who can be against us? And not only is God for us, God is with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. So if your faith is wavering, oh, know that God is not bailing out. That God is drawing closer. God is drawing near. And he's going to see you through. I am absolutely convinced that God is going to see you through. Amen. I got time to read this scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. We read it last week. I want to read it again. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Ah, friend, the Bible said, literally, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God won't back off. God won't bail out. God will not forsake you. And he will not forsake me. And he did not forsake me. And it wasn't because of my great faith, for my faith was wavering. It was because of his great faithfulness. You know, the Bible said, think it not strange, the fiery trial that is come to try you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Well, it's saying right there that he's going to take you through this thing. Amen. That you can, in fact, do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. But you're not going to escape the trial, but you're going to escape the desired, designed result of your enemy. And that is that you despair in yourself. You become discouraged in him. You give up on God, give up on yourself, throw in the towel. No, friend. God is going to make a way for you to escape the discouragement, escape the despair, because he's going to stir you and give you courage by his Spirit. He's going to encourage you with his Word, just like he's doing, and other people just like me who have been where you are. And God has shown us his faithfulness, his strength, his grace, his mercy. Praise God. And I'm telling you, he's going to bring you through not beaten and battered and beleaguered. He's going to bring you through and make you better than you were before. There's no doubt in my mind today that somebody is being encouraged to stay in this race and not give up and not give in and not go back. For we're not of them that turn back to perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving, the very saving of the soul. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're struggling alone in this world, I want you to know we know what it's like. Every Christian knows what that's like. We know heartbreak. We know heartache. We know discouragement. We know disappointment. We know failure. We know what it is to be ashamed. But we have a Lord that we run to, not from, when those times come. And you can know him right now as your Lord and your Savior. And if you will come to Christ today and confess your sins and receive him as your Savior, he'll make that commitment to you that's pulling us through everything. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Well, our time is gone. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.
You can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you.